chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Perhaps one remark as to verse 6, which was brought up by one of our brethren here present. If it is said in verse 6 in the middle, he that knows God hears us, he who is not of God does not hear us, you would not be able to say the same thing reversed. You could not say he that hears us is of God. Well, that would be true, but it could be that he is somebody who is not yet born again. But the second part could never be reversed with any sense. He who does not hear us is not of God. If that would be that every child of God who is disobedient at a certain time of his life would thereby be not of God. This is one of the sentences of John which are abstract. He does not speak practically here, but he speaks in the abstract way and says, those who do not know God, who are far from God, will not listen to the word of God. But you could not turn this round and say somebody who does not listen at a given moment to the word of God is therefore not a believer, is not of God. We understand this all. So we have here the black and white writing of John, as so often, not everywhere, but here it is again. The characteristics of one who is an unbeliever is that he will not listen to the apostles. But the characteristics of a believer is normally that he will listen to the apostles. I just want to put this forward to avoid any misunderstandings.
Nothing has been said in verse 4 about the one that is in the world. Perhaps somebody can say something about that, who is compared with the Holy Ghost in us.
Normally when brothers ask a question, they know the answer. But would you agree with this suggestion then? There's a difference between the them and the he. When it says you have overcome them, it refers back to the false prophets. But when it says he that is in the world, I would think of Satan directly. In John's Gospel, in chapter 12 and also in chapter 14, he is called the prince of the world, or the prince of this world. And Paul speaks about Satan as the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4. And if this is so, then it really shows that the battleground here is one where on one side there is Satan, and his objective is to attack Christ and his glory. But the comforting and reassuring side is that there is one who is greater, and that is not us. A well-known and respected expositor once said, I would not venture to meet Satan on the truth. In other words, he says, I think I would be much feebler and I could not take on this fight against Satan. But there is one who is greater, the one who is in us, the Holy Spirit.
You just said that Satan is called the God of this world, but he is not a God. But the Holy Spirit is a divine person in us.
But these two expressions, the prince of this world, used by the Lord Jesus, he called him for the first time and the only time the prince of this world. What an expression. And when Paul says that he is the God of this world, the question might arise, how is it possible that the Lord Jesus acknowledges Satan as the prince of this world? As man here on earth, he had encountered him. And when Satan met him in the desert, he said to him, he lied to him, if thou wilt bow down before me, I will give thee all these realms because they have been given to me. Was that true? Who had given the realms of the earth to him? Nobody. He had robbed them. God had given all the earth and its dominion to man. But by luring man into obedience to him rather than in obedience to God, he had made himself king of this world. Nobody had given it. Man, perhaps, one could say, by being deceived by Satan. But then he turns up with the Lord Jesus and said, it has been given to me. One of his many lies. That's how we see. And the Lord, in a way, acknowledges that. The prince of this world comes. And Satan has ruled this world for almost 6,000 years. He has power, although his power, as we say, rightly say, has been destroyed in the cross. He who has the power of death has been destroyed. And still, he has a certain power. There's no doubt about it. If we see all these persecutions of Christians and all the attacks against the true faith, there is a certain power with Satan, but it is more his devices with which he tries to lure people. Even the Lord, as man, was not safe of him, as safe in another way, but not that he did not dare to attack him. But he was safe by what? It's so simple. As we have heard all day through, he only came with the word of God. It is written. That was the answer of our Lord against him who is in this world. And we see that the Lord, who is the stronger one, who bound the strong one, but how was he as man? Where was his strength? It was in the word of God. And that is a wonderful example for us. And when later on Paul says, calls Satan the god of this world, the god of this age, actually. It is more this, not the cosmos. The Lord Jesus said he is the prince of this cosmos. That is the creation. Paul says he is the god of this age, the Ion. That is also the world, and it is being translated as world, but more in the sense of this present evil system which Satan has created in this cosmos. And of that, Satan is God. Did he make himself in a way? Yes. But in a way, it was man who made Satan his God. Man was in relationship to God, his creator. And God, his creator, had given him one command, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And man denied that. He rather obeyed Satan and thereby acknowledged him as God. Because here Satan stood side by side, if I may say so, God. And God had said one thing and Satan said, no, by no means. If you listen to me, and that's the moment where man made Satan his god. And since then, Satan is the god of this evil world in which we live. So this is true, but it is interesting to see how he became. He was not. Everything in this world normally has been installed by God. He is the supreme being, but not Satan. He is always the, although he knows that he is not almighty, he is always in the opposition of God. He knows I'm not the governor, but he is always, as in our governments, he is always in opposition, although he knows that his end will be eternal condemnation, and he will not stop. That shows the evil character, that knowing his future, he knows that he will be eternally condemned in the pit of fire. He will not stop to resist and to oppose God and trying this on believers too. But wow, how wonderful it is that we know in our simple faith, stronger is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We do not have to be afraid of Satan, but we know that we are stronger by simple faith and obedience to his word, to God's word, naturally.
Der, welcher in euch ist größer. Und der in uns ist, das ist der Heilige Geist.
Who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, and the one who is in us is the Holy Spirit.
Epheser 1, Vers 18.
Ephesians 1, verse 18.
Nachdem ihr geglaubt, das Wort eures Heils.
Yeah, Ephesians 1, verse 13.
Versiegelt mit dem Heiligen Geist.
Having believed the gospel of your salvation.
Welcher das Unterpfand eures Erbes ist.
You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the earnest of your inheritance.
Das heißt, der Garant, dass wir all das bekommen werden, was Gott den Seinen einmal schenken möchte.
This means he is the guarantee that one day we will receive all that God wants to give his own.
Und dieser Heilige Geist, der in jedem Gläubigen wohnt,
and the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer,
er ist größer als alles,
is greater than all.
Es ist die Macht Gottes.
It is the power of God.
Jesus sagt an einer Stelle, ihr kennet nicht die Macht Gottes.
The Lord Jesus says in one passage, ye know not the power of God.
Und das ist der Heilige Geist.
And this is the Holy Spirit.
Der Heilige Geist, der auch gewirkt hat bei der Menschwerdung des Herrn Jesus.
The Holy Spirit, who was operative in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus,
als seine Geburt angezeichnet oder seine Zeugung oder sein Kommen in diese Welt Maria verkündigt wird,
when his birth was announced to Mary, his coming into the world,
da sagt sie, wie soll das geschehen, da ich keinen Mann kenne?
She said, how shall this be, as I have not known a man?
Da sagt der Engel, Kraft des Höchsten wird dich überschatten.
The angel says in Luke 1:35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee.
Und du wirst im Leibe empfangen.
And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called Son of God.
Und genau das ist es, was im Psalm 2, Vers 7 schon angekündigt ist. Vom Beschluss will ich reden. Heute habe ich dich gezeugt.
And this is what had been announced already in Psalm 2, verse 7, where it says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee.
Genau das ist es, was auch in Hebräer 1 wiederholt wird.
And this is what is mentioned as well in Hebrews 1.
In Bezug auf den Engel, auf die Engel, es wurde vorhin erwähnt, die ihren ersten Zustand verlassen haben.
In relation to the angels who left their first state.
Du bist mein Sohn, heute habe ich dich gezeugt.
But of the Lord it says in Hebrews 1, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee.
Durch den Heiligen Geist füge ich jetzt hinzu.
And I add by the Holy Spirit.
Und dieser Heilige Geist, der in uns wohnt, er ist größer als alles. Durch den kann auch der Gläubige und wird auch der Gläubige die Welt überwinden. Das heißt nicht, dass wir in den Krieg ziehen, weil da irgendwelche Dinge nicht in Ordnung sind, sondern es meint das weltliche System, was in der Hand des Teufels ist, der Teufel als der Gott dieser Welt.
And this Holy Spirit is greater than all. And this is why believers can overcome the world through the Holy Spirit. And when I say overcome the world, it does not mean that we have to go to war with the world, but it means that we overcome by the Holy Spirit.
Das ist das auch, als der Engel zu, oder der Jesus selbst auch zu Abraham sagt, sollte in den Augen Gottes etwas so wunderbar sein.
As it is said to Abraham, should something be too marvelous for God?
Bei Gott ist kein Ding unmöglich.
Nothing is impossible with God.
Und das ist dieser Glaube, dieses Vertrauen auf die Macht und auf die Kraft Gottes. Das ist der Sieg,
and
dieser
so,
Glaube.
And so this victory is the confidence in the might and power of God in faith.
Wir müssen gar nicht selbst kämpfen.
We don't have to fight ourselves.
Steht und seht die Rettung, die der Herr geben wird. Das wird Mose gesagt im Anblick des Kampfes und das wird auch uns gesagt im Anblick der Welt, die ja einmal übermächtig uns erscheint oder erscheinen will.
Stand and see the salvation of the Lord, as it was said to Moses and as it is said to us in view of the world.
Diese Macht Gottes, die auch in uns gewirkt hat.
This power of God that has also been operative in us.
Die in uns die Wiedergeburt bewirkt hat. Die gleiche Macht, die sich bei der Geburt des Herrn Jesus oder Zeugung erwiesen hat, auch in uns, auch in dem Gläubigen.
The same power which was operative in bringing about our new birth and which was operative in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus is also in us now.
Geboren nicht aus verweslichem Samen, sondern aus unverweslichem, dem lebendigen und bleibenden Wort in Bezug auf den Heiligen Geist, und das macht der Jesus klar, aus Wasser und Geist wiedergeboren.
We have been born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus makes clear that the Holy Spirit was operative in this, as he says, we were born of water and of Spirit.
Wir haben also zwei bedeutungsvolle Hilfsmittel.
So we have two important resources.
Um den antichristlichen Geist zu überwinden.
In order to overcome the spirit of the Antichrist.
Also das eine ist eben die Kraft des Heiligen Geistes.
One is the power of the Holy Spirit.
Das griechische Wort für greater, also ja für größer, ist megas.
And the Greek word for greater is mega.
Und wir kennen dieses Wort in der Welt, Megastore oder other word.
Yeah, which is also, becoming a popular word in the world.
Also wir sind sehr bevorrechtet als Christen.
So we are very privileged as Christians.
Der zweite Hilfsmittel.
And the second resource
ist eben das Festhalten am Wort der Apostel.
Is clinging to the word of the apostles.
Und gerade in den Endzeitbriefen wird das sehr betont.
And it is especially in the epistles that speak of the time of the end that this is emphasized.
Zum Beispiel 2. Petrus 3, Vers 2.
For example, in 2 Peter 3, Verse 2.
Kannst du lesen, bitte, Vers 2.
2 Peter 3, Verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior.
Also, am Wort der Apostel festhalten ist eigentlich die einzige Möglichkeit, um in der Endzeit zu bestehen.
Therefore, clinging to the word of the apostles is the only means by which we can stand in the time of the end.
Und in Judas Brief bitte noch. Vers 17.
And then in Jude, verse 17. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Ja, und das ist ja auch ein Brief, der ganz besonders die schreckliche Abfall in der Christenheit vorstellt.
This is an epistle that shows us in a special way the apostasy of Christendom.
Und das Gleiche ist im Johannesbrief, wo wir 7 oder 8 Mal finden, wir sollen zum Anfang zurückgehen, eben zum Wort der Apostel.
Yeah, and then in John's epistles we find 8 times the exhortation to, 7 or 8 times the exhortation to return to that which was from the beginning.
Also deutlich gesagt, wir gehen nicht 100 Jahre zurück oder 200 Jahre oder bis zur Reformation, das ist alles interessant, sondern wir gehen zurück zum Wort der Apostel.
So it's not a matter of going back 1 century or 2 or up to the Reformation, but to go back to the beginning, to the Word of God.
We have already mentioned that we have this wonderful thing that he that is in us, the Holy Spirit, is greater than he that is in the world, which is Satan. And we have already spoken about the fact that he is called by Paul the God of this world. And in this connection, Paul says that he, as the God of this world, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. And if somebody opposes the truth, even if he is a believer, then he is taken in one of the snares of the devil and he has to repent of that. That's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, where he speaks about such persons that oppose the truth. And he says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 25, "In meekness setting right those who oppose, if God perhaps may sometime give them repentance to acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may awake up out of the snare of the devil, who are taken by him for his will."
The fact that after such a long period of time in the history of Christendom, the truths, the fundamental truths from the apostles' teachings were rediscovered, so to say, it's a certain proof that what is said here is true. Of course, we all believe that it is true because it is the Word of God. But we also have a proof of that. And it is amazing that so many centuries, many truths from the Word of God were in darkness. And then, by the grace of the Lord, they were explained again to the believers. And believers immediately realized that this is the truth, this is the significance of the word of the apostles. And we know that the word of God is always consistent to itself. That's very interesting, because what John is saying here, to refer always to the apostles' teaching, has been something consistent in the word of God even before. I mean by this that the Lord Jesus, when he comes here on earth, he says about himself, and we can read that in John chapter 10, verse 3, he says, "To him the porter opens." That means that everything that the Lord Jesus was and did was consistent to what was prophesied about him. That was one of the proofs that he was giving. What would Messiah be that Christ was not? Ask this to a Jewish person, and he will have nothing to answer. How will Messiah be when he will come? And the description is exactly what Christ was already here on earth. Then, when the apostles started preaching, they were explaining things from the part of God, and they were teaching the disciples, the Christians, who were newly born again. They were explaining those things about the assembly and about the human being and the soul, spirit, and about the Lord Jesus and all those things. They had to be consistent with the Old Testament. They had to. And they were. And the believers, they did search every day the scriptures, trying to see if what they were told was so. We read this in a well-known passage in the Acts of the Apostles. About the believers in Berea, it's what the Greeks called Veria. It's chapter 17. And verse 11. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, receiving the word with all readiness of mind, daily searching the scriptures if things were so. So what the Lord Jesus was and did here on earth was consistent to what was prophesied in the Old Testament. What the apostles were saying was consistent to what the Bible said in the Old Testament. And now we read that everything that comes afterwards should be consistent to the teaching of the apostles. It's exactly what the first Christians were doing. They were persisting in the apostles' teaching. That's the very well-known verse in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Now, there is only one question that rises from here. So we only have to read the Bible, because this is the words of the apostles. It's the only thing that we need to hear. Do we? That's a very interesting thing. And many Christians believe this. Many say the only thing we need is the Bible, nothing else. But I want to say that this is directly against the apostles' teaching. And I would like to read a verse in Ephesians. Chapter 4. And it's verse 11, Ephesians 4:11. And he has given some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, with a view to the work of the ministry, with a view to the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all arrive at the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, at the full-grown men, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, in order that we may be no longer babes, tossed and carried about by every wind of that teaching, and so on. So we see clearly that hearing the apostles is a test to see whether a teacher teaches correctly or not. And we should always apply this test to every teacher. It's very important, and continuously. There can be that today a teacher is speaking well, and tomorrow he will start saying something wrong. It's not that we know that this teacher is right, so we can follow him as long as he will live. That could be dangerous. The only thing that we can say is about those teachers who are not among us anymore, because they are with the Lord now. And their writings were checked, cross-checked many times, many generations, and there was no error found in it. But the test remained this, the writings of the apostles. I would like to say this especially to the young people. Don't imagine that you will be safe against the error if you do not take profit from the work of the teachers. Be they alive, as it is in a conference like this, or those that the Lord has given in the past times. But there is nothing wrong in searching everything that you hear with the Word of God. There is nothing wrong in asking questions. There is nothing wrong in saying, I don't understand, for example, what Brother Darby is saying here. I think he's wrong. And then go to the Bible. And then ask the brothers. And then slowly, 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 you realize what valuable helps we have from the writings of the brethren. But the basis of everything is the apostles' teaching.
In this connection, in verse 6, there is a little expression that is that points us to what I believe is a very precious feature or characteristic of a believer. When it says, "He that knows God hears us," perhaps it's one of those expressions we might sort of read over easily, but it is a tremendous thing to say of a human being that person should be knowing God. in it is one who knows God in a way that is progressive. The word used is the one that is used for experience, where there is an increase in knowledge. And yet the thing is wonderful that this should be possible at all. And the answer is that we can only know God to any extent because we have received a new nature. But I just wanted to sort of point to the beauty in this expression as describing believers as those who are engaged in this process of knowing God.
I think it's interesting that our Lord Jesus himself taught to the apostles that he will teach them what they should write and say, and he would do it by the Spirit. In John 14, it is said in verse 25, "These things I have said to you, abiding with you, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all the things which I have said to you." And in John 16, in verse 13, it is said, "But when he is come, the Spirit of truth, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will announce to you what is coming." So our Lord himself, he authorized the apostles. It was not their own choice to write something. He said that to them, and so we can trust in the word of the Lord himself.
Vielleicht können wir übergehen zu Vers 7.
May we move on to verse 7?
Wir haben hier die Aufforderung aufs Neue zur Bruderliebe.
Here, once again, we have the exhortation to exercise brotherly love.
Wir haben das schon in Kapitel 2 gesehen und ganz ausgeweitet in Kapitel 3.
We saw this in chapter 2 and in great detail in chapter 3.
Und wichtig ist, denke ich, dass Bruderliebe eben zu tun hat mit göttlicher Liebe.
And it is important to see that brotherly love is related to divine love.
Lasst uns lieben, da haben wir das bekannte Wort agapao.
Yeah, when it says let us love, it is the word agapao that is being used.
Also Bruderliebe ist keine natürliche Liebe.
So brotherly love is not natural love.
Wir haben natürlich auch natürliche Liebe.
Obviously we also do have natural love.
Aber wir sollten da sehr vorsichtig sein unter Geschwistern.
But we should be very careful in this respect amongst believers.
Denn Bruderliebe ist ein Muss unabhängig vom Charakter und Zustand.
Because brotherly love is an imperative, independent of the character and the the character of my brother.
Also wir lieben die Brüder nicht, weil sie so sympathisch sind.
So the reason we love our brethren is not because they are so nice.
Also ich denke, viele sind sympathisch. Also die Schwestern sind eingeschlossen.
I think many of the brothers and sisters are very nice.
Aber das ist nicht das Motiv, sie zu lieben.
But this is not the motive for loving them.
Das Motiv ist eben die neue Natur im anderen.
The reason is the new nature in the other one.
Ja. Und die, wir lesen ja ganz besonders im Johannesbrief, dass Gott Liebe ist.
And we read, especially in John's epistles, in John's first epistle, that God is love.
Und die Quelle der Liebe ist auch bei Gott.
And the source of love is with God as well.
Also wir haben die Quelle der Liebe und des Lichts in Gott.
So the source of love and light is in God.
So ist Gott.
This is what God is.
Wenn wir lesen oder hören von Barmherzigkeit, Gerechtigkeit,
when we read of mercy or righteousness,
dann ist das eine Auswirkung dessen, dass Gott Licht und Liebe ist.
Then these things are consequences of the fact that God is light and God is love.
Also ich habe noch nie gelesen, Gott ist Barmherzigkeit.
I've never read God is mercy.
Also nochmals, seine Natur ist Licht und Liebe.
So his nature is light and love.
Und so ist auch unser neues Leben.
And the same applies to our new life, new nature.
Und darum heißt es zum Beispiel dann in Vers 11, Geliebte, wenn Gott uns so geliebt hat, sind auch wir schuldig, einander zu lieben.
And so it says in verse 11, Beloved, if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Also nochmals, wir lieben die Brüder nicht, weil von ihnen so viel Gegenliebe kommt.
So once again, the reason we love our brethren is not because they love us so much.
Weil das sehen wir auch nicht bei Gott.
This was not the case with God's love either.
Also das werden wir sehen in Vers 11. Geliebte, wenn Gott uns so geliebt hat, und er hat uns geliebt, sogar als wir noch Sünder waren.
Which we will see in verse 11. Beloved, if God has so loved us, which was at a time when we were still sinners.
Also nochmals, ich denke, es ist sehr nützlich, dass wir die Brüder lieben, ohne mal zu erwarten, dass Gegenliebe kommt.
So it's very useful for us to realize that we should love our brethren without expecting to be loved again by them in return.
Aber es kommt doch, diese Gegenliebe erleben wir.
But then we will find that this does happen, that it does occur, that love is responded to by love.
Thank you.
Again, John uses here this wonderful address, Beloved, of which we have been speaking in relation to verse 1 already, and which occurs earlier several times in this epistle, an expression of that subject into which he enters again, not for the first time here in this passage. We are all beloved of God, as he is. God has even poured his love into our hearts. And then, if we think of what our brother has just been saying, that we have received by new birth a nature which is corresponding to the nature of God, light and love, a new life characterized by light and love. Why does he say, let us love one another, if our nature is love? And if this love is poured into our hearts and should be and will be active? Is this nature imperfect that it has to be admonished? The question is, does the new nature have to be admonished as such? I would say no. Because it is self-evident that the new nature represents the qualities of God. Is the old nature to be admonished, exhorted? I don't think that God will occupy himself with our old nature, the flesh. But what is addressed here is the believer as a responsible person who has both, who has a new life and who still has the flesh. And as such, we are responsible for our activities and our actions. And therefore, because we are in danger as responsible Christians, in the eyes of God, to let our flesh act, which is sin, and not always let our new nature develop its activities. That's why we need exhortations. Perhaps as a young Christian studying these things, one says, well, if I am a newborn man, I have new desires and new wishes, and I wish to love everybody, and I do it. Why these exhortations? Well, one doesn't know oneself if one asks such a question. It is because our flesh, our evil old nature. And that's why. But it is not the old nature which is addressed. It is the Christian as a responsible person who has to every day live in faith and love. And that's why we are exhorted, let us love one another. And then he reminds us, the readers and ourselves, of the fact that God, of whom we are born anew, in his nature is love. For love, it's not exactly God is love, but love. And actually it should be the love is of God. This in English is difficult, but in the Greek language it is there, which means this is not love in a general way, love in a more characteristical way. It is because there is love, there is natural love, there is all kinds of love, love of money, etc., etc. And we know that this is not meant here, because here it is the characteristics of God himself, the love. And here it is. The word has already been said, this word which is always used for the divine love, but not exclusively. There are also passages where this word agape or agapao is used for human beings, so it is not exclusively the divine love. And on the other hand, brotherly love, which is not here the point. Actually, we have several passages where brotherly love is used, but there it is, not agape, but Philadelphia, the philo. It is just the other side. But so we cannot say that the one is always human and the other is always divine. The context decides. But here it is that the love, the only true love, is of God. And we have partakers of his nature, and therefore we are enabled. We do not have to enforce anything. If we let our new nature be active, we love each other because we see there is somebody who is loved by God, who is a child of God, who is my brother, my sister. And in earthly affairs, brothers and sisters are not, in families, are not always loved. But here it is the same nature, the same divine origin. And that is where love should produce itself in the first place. And that is why. But having the flesh, having the old nature with all its negative qualities, we have to be exhorted, let us love one another because the love is of God. And everyone that loves has been begotten of God. An unbeliever cannot love in this way. And I don't want to repeat, but to stress and underline the fact that this love has nothing whatsoever to do with human sympathy. nothing. With human love, not the least. How can that be? I tell you, if you love a person with human love, apart from Christianity, if you really love him or her, in most cases, he can do what he wants or what she wants, you will still love him. Even, and one knows history, stories of people where a lady loved a murderer and couldn't keep loving him, couldn't stop loving him, and vice versa. So that is human love. Has nothing whatsoever to do with divine love, God who is not only love but also light. And the divine love will never, never condone evil. But human love will. It is sometimes even famous that love was so that the evil of the one loved was hidden and whatnot. But divine love is not so. So that is why divine love has nothing to do with human sympathy. It is there. And we may exercise human sympathy. We may have friends. But oh, beware that we do not exercise this sympathy in the human way, that the sympathy, and one has seen cases where Christians have, by sympathy, condoned evil in another person. But this is not brotherly love, this is not divine love, this is the extreme of human sympathy where it leads to condoning evil. And this shows how important it is to stick to the word of God. The love is of God, and every other love which is not of God is not meant here and can never be brought into the picture when we speak about divine love. And this divine love, we see it in the Lord Jesus when he went in this world. He loved the most feeble persons who were despised by the so-called righteous persons, the Pharisees. But he hated evil. That is the love and light in perfection. Let us love one another because the love is of God. And everyone that loves has been begotten of God. Everyone who exercises, who shows this kind of love must be begotten of God. Because an unregenerated man could not manifest such a kind of love. He must be born of God.
Wir haben in diesem Brief ja mehrfach den Hinweis, dass der Jesus dieses neue Gebot gegeben hat, dass wir einander lieben sollen.
In this epistle, several times we are pointed to the new commandment that the Lord Jesus gave, namely that we should love one another.
Zum Beispiel Kapitel 3, Vers 11.
For example, in chapter 3, verse 11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
Wir haben das auch im fünften Kapitel wieder.
And also in chapter 5.
Aber hier geht es viel tiefer. Hier geht es tatsächlich auf den tiefsten Grund, nämlich den Ursprung der Liebe, zurück.
But here this love is traced back further to its absolute origin.
Es würde eigentlich genügen, wenn wir dem Gebot unseres Herrn folgen würden, einander zu lieben.
In a way it would be sufficient for us if we followed our Lord's commandment to love one another.
Aber es ist eine große Gnade, dass Gott uns das hier in diesen Versen in dieser Tiefe offenbart.
But it is a great grace that God reveals this to us in these verses in such depth.
Wir lesen nicht nur, dass die Liebe aus Gott ist, dass sie also von Gott ist, aus ihm heraus.
And so we read not only that love is of God,
sondern wir haben sogar, und das auch zweimal hier, dass selbst die Liebe ist. Wir haben es uns schon gesagt eben.
But we even find the revelation mentioned twice in this chapter that he is love.
Wir können über unseren Gott nachdenken, über sein Wesen, dass er Licht und Liebe und ich denke auch Leben ist, dieses dreifache L.
And so we can meditate upon this, upon the nature of God, meditating on the fact that he is life and love, sorry, light and love, and our brother also mentions life.
Und das sind die drei Buchstaben, die wir haben, dreimal L.
Yeah, happily in German and English, all three begin with an L.
Ihr könnt das aber gut verstehen. Und ich denke, dass uns diese Verse nicht nur motivieren, einander zu lieben aus tiefstem Herzen heraus, sondern dass auch dieses Erkennen, dass Gott die Liebe ist, uns zur Anbetung führt.
And so these verses want to motivate us to love one another, but also to help us in meditating upon our God who is love.
Die Liebe Gottes ist ganz anders wie die Liebe allgemein, obwohl grundsätzlich die Liebe aus Gott ist. Alle Liebe, menschliche Liebe, ist aus Gott.
The love of God is very different from love as such, although it says here that the love is of God.
Aber Gott erweist seine Liebe nicht nur darin, dass Christus, als wir Sünder waren, für uns gestorben ist.
But God shows his love towards us not only in that Christ died when we were yet sinners,
sondern zeigt, dass wir Feinde waren nach der Gesinnung unserer Herzen.
But he shows that we were enemies as regards the attitude of our hearts.
Das heißt, die Liebe Gottes zu den Menschen hat sich nicht in der Gegenliebe gezeigt oder dass der Mensch eben gut war, sondern im Gegenteil.
So the love of God was not a response to something attractive in man or man loving, but on the opposite is the case.
Also hat Gott die Welt geliebt.
For God so loved the world.
Also hat Gott die Menschen geliebt.
And God loved men.
Denn ich will, dass irgendjemand verloren gehe.
He does not want anyone to perish.
Und seinen Sohn gesandt hat als Sühnung für die Sünden.
And he sent his son as propitiation for sins.
Und wenn der Jesus in Matthäus ein neues Gebot, es wurde eben schon gesagt, seinen Jüngern gibt,
and if the Lord Jesus gives his disciples a new commandment,
Johannes 15, Vers 12,
in John 15, Vers 12,
und das ist das Gebot, das neue Gebot, an das Johannes hier in gewisser Weise erinnert.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. This is what we are reminded of in our epistle here.
Yes. Und nach Römer 5 ist ein Gläubiger befähigt, diese Liebe zu zeigen, diese Liebe auch allen Menschen zu erzeigen.
And according to Romans 5, believers are enabled to show this kind of love to others.
Wir sind aufgefordert, unsere Feinde zu lieben.
We are exhorted to love our enemies.
Der natürliche Mensch kann das nicht.
Natural man cannot do this.
Aber der Gläubige kann es.
But the believer can.
Warum kann er es?
And why?
Weil nach Römer 5,
because based on Romans 5,
die Liebe Gottes ausgegossen ist in unsere Herzen,
the love of God has been
durch den Heiligen Geist,
into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Wieder wird hier der Heilige Geist erwähnt,
again the Holy Spirit is mentioned,
der uns auch die Kraft geben kann und will,
who can and wants to give us the power,
eine Liebe zu zeigen, wie Gott sie selbst ist, in sich selbst hat.
To show, to demonstrate that love which God is in himself.